What's up, family? Welcome to Speak. It is time for kickoff. Now, get this. Eagles coach Nick Sirianni, he said something an hour ago that has me worried about this team. First off, what'd he say? He said, the criticism of the offense, it should come to me. It's my offense. I was hired to do a job here, and I'm committed to that. The criticism should come to me. It unfairly goes to offensive coordinator Brian Johnson. But now I'm thinking about why there is criticism. Remember 3 weeks ago, Eagles got blown out by the San Francisco 49ers. Then remember 2 weeks ago, Eagles got blown out by the Dallas Cowboys. Then remember this past weekend, Eagles made a wholesale substitution. Sean Desai, defensive coordinator, he's out of there. Insert Matt Patricia. He arrived in April as a defensive analyst. Now he's the coordinator. So chaos, 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 chaos. Surely that'll fix things, right? Wrong. Eagles lose to the 6-6 Seattle Seahawks. I think they were 6-7 to get it straight. So I am worried that the Philadelphia Eagles are falling apart before our very eyes. They've made changes. Their roster hurt. Darius Slay, surgery. Landon Dickerson, surgery. Jalen Hurts, sick. So now you're losing games, your roster's sick, and your coaches are making substitutions. Shady, the only person who can calm me down is you, and you not calm. Eagles all-time rushing leader, LeSean Shady McCoy. He's dressed in all black. Last time the Eagles saw all black, it was not a good day for them. It was the San Francisco 49ers showing up.
Yeah, that was a little scary.
Yeah, that was defeat. So maybe, Shady, you are going to atone for the sins of the Philadelphia Eagles on the field. Are you worried that the Eagles are falling apart, big dog?
No, I'm not. What the Eagles are going through is what every other team is going through. Other teams have lost.
Sure.
They've lost games. And if you look at all the top teams, they've had times where they went on losing streaks.
Yes, sir.
Right? Cowboys.
Yep.
Niners.
Yep.
Right? Even the Dolphins. It was lost and other loss in between, but they've been there. And my thing is, like, if you look at the way we've played, yeah, we haven't played great all year. I can say that. I can be honest. But we still find ways to win games. Right? And I look at all the other games that we kind of lost. Other than the blowout with the Niners, which they blew up the Cowboys. Other than the blowout against the Cowboys, the Cowboys been blown out too.
That's true.
We in the same ballpark as everybody else. Mm. And the best thing about it is what? We're 10-4 now? What are we? 10-4 now? Something like that? Man, I mean, we still in the top teams in the league.
I love this.
And my thing is, once you get into the playoffs, all that don't matter no more. Last year, we lost 4 or 3 games last year. It didn't matter. We went to the Super Bowl. So if we continue to do what we got to do and improve, we got 3 beatable teams. Not even beatable, whoopable teams. We're going to whoop these teams. We got the Giants twice. Yeah. We need some confidence. Think about this, though. Imagine take you back all the way to, like,
take
I don't know,
back. Take me
sixth
back.
Grade,
take me back.
Fifth grade.
Yes, sir.
Right? And you got a hard schedule, but you have them little 2-3 games. Like, all right, we got these bums.
Yep.
Before we start the regular season. What'd the coach do?
What'd he do?
We put everybody out there to get the confidence, get the momentum.
Yeah.
Got the dudes that's not that good getting all type of buckets.
Yeah.
To get them confidence. No, so no. Give us this confidence against the Cardinals, who's not that good, right? And the Giants twice. And then let's get into the playoffs and let's see what happens.
Here's what I love, Joy Taylor. I love this. It was December 1st, I believe. I think it was December 1st. I think we're doing this show all together. We're kumbaya on. And I'm like, Shady, are you not worried about the Eagles? He said, come on, Acho. We 10-1. What am I going
to
be worried for?
Ain't nothing.
Then I caught Shady on December 4th after they lost to the Niners. Shady, you not worried about the Eagles? Come on, Acho. We 10-2.
Yeah.
What you worried for? Then I caught Shady on December 11th after they lost to the Cowboys. Shady, you worried about the Eagles? Nah, Acho. We 10-3. What you worried for?
Ask me again.
And then I caught Shady.
Come on, ask me
on this fine, blessed Wednesday.
Come on, ask me. Come on.
And I say, Shady, are you worried about the Eagles?
No, Acho, we only 10-2.
With you.
And listen, if you look at the other, so the Dolphins got a better record than us, right? Correct?
Yes.
We beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah, same record, yep.
The, who else? The Niners?
Yeah, they got a slightly better record, one game.
But we right there, though. So, and as
Cowboys
bad as
you split with.
As bad as we played, we right there. The Chiefs is a good team. They lost, we beat them.
Yeah.
The Bills. You keep saying how scared the Bills is.
Yeah.
We beat them.
Yeah.
So we've been playing bad, but we've been winning games.
That's true.
Come on now, James. Come
loyalty,
on now.
You got that. Loyalty. I hear you, Kendrick. Like, you loyal over there, my dog. It's falling apart. It's falling apart fast, too. It's falling apart fast. When you look at just even the last couple weeks, because we all know what we've been hearing since week one. We ain't played our best football. That's been since week one. Then you get blown out by the Niners and the Cowboys, and we got to make changes, right? That's the first thing that, like, oh, shoot, here we go. Falling apart. Defensive coordinator, you ain't fired, but go sit up there in the press box
somewhere.
While this other coach runs the defense that you done ran for 13 weeks, right? So basically fired, right? That's strike number two, right? We ain't been playing well for 13 weeks. Strike number two, you fired the coach. Then you have your star, your leader, who I believe is a heck of a leader. That's why we give him praise. Come out there and say, people are not committed.
Mm.
For you to say people are not committed is strike number three. And you knew that probably week number one,
mm-hmm.
probably coming out of training camp. You know what I mean? But as we all know, winning covers up, not a little bit.
Everything.
And that's what they were doing. And they still are winning 10-4. But the way this team is playing football, everything that's going on, and now you have your coaches not changing nothing. Right? We watched that game against the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, they put A.J. Brown in the slot a little bit more. Wasn't no movement. Mm-hmm. Wasn't no motions. Jalen Hurts, BU. A.J. Brown, BU. Devontae Smith, BU. The last 3 weeks, BU has not gotten you W's. It's not good enough. And then you hear all this stuff coming out. Commitment really sticks out to me because that's something that you have been looking at as a quarterback since training camp.
Yeah.
And now it's starting to show up right now. This thing right here is falling apart. And I'm not confident that they are going to blow these teams out. They might find a way to win because they've shown us that during the football season. But they ain't showed us during the football season they could blow nobody out. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even confident that they could blow Kyler Murray out and Danny DeVito out. Or Tommy DeVito. That's his name, Tommy DeVito?
Tommy DeVito. Do we need to?
Huh? Confidence-wise, for me, you need to, because these teams right here.
If we win in a dominant fashion, do we need to blow out to you, James?
Well, if you win in a dominant fashion, that is a blowout.
No, I mean, you can beat somebody about 14, 17 points and then be a dominant.
You beat them by 17 and look dominant, then yes, that's confidence.
Okay.
But if you go out there and win 17-14, that ain't no confidence
okay.
against Tommy DeVito. So this falling apart.
Let me cut,
fast, Giorgio. Fast.
Am I worried the Eagles are falling apart? Yeah, I'm a little worried. Three games in a row, the leaders are calling out the whole team.
Just a little?
I think it's reasonable to be worried. Right. I do think that T.J. Hushmanzada made an interesting point yesterday because you do have these three games coming up.
Mm-hmm.
If they look good and they win the division and they go out of the season looking dominant, everything's working, they look like they did last year, they finally tap into that Eagles team that we've been hoping that they look like all season.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very short memory this year. We've been struggling and fighting to get everybody to consider the entirety of the season when we're evaluating everybody all throughout the year. If that happens, I do wonder what the energy will be like around the Eagles. Mm. It's kind of tough to say that right now. There's a lot still on the table. I know I keep saying that, but there are still games to be played. There are three games left for these teams. The Dallas Cowboys have the Miami Dolphins away. We know how Dallas plays away. They could win that game, of course, but they could lose that game.
Yes, they can.
Then they have the Lions, and then they have the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles have Giants twice and the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And they could lose all three of these games.
Yes, they can.
They could win all three of these games. They could win them close. They could blow them out.
We can't lose all three of these games. It's not possible.
I don't think so either.
It's possible.
Lil' Mick Calamari, I'll be this. And then Italian dude is not going
to
This is not the Godfather. Let's pray that don't happen. We don't want that.
No, you do have to be worried. They've lost three games in a row to two really good teams and one team with a lot of pride, well-coached, and it's not a bad team. Seattle's not a bad team. They're not what we thought they were this year. But the bad part of it is you had the backup quarterback.
Mm.
So I think it's reasonably worried. Falling apart, I think it's too soon to tell if they are falling apart because they do have three games left. And if they do go and win dominant fashion, I do wonder what the conversation will be.
Here is why, and Joy Shady, let me talk to you all for a second. I hate the Eagles' remaining schedule.
Mm.
I'm not just, like, tolerant of it. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember, Shady, all the time hearing in church, all the time you would hear, well, you can only be tempted by things that entice you. And I thought about that for a second. I was like, oh, that is interesting. If something don't entice me, you can't be tempted by it. The Eagles can only be broken by teams that can break them. So the Cardinals, the Giants can't break the Eagles. So if you really want to learn about the Eagles, I don't want to see them play the Cardinals, the Giants, or the Giants. I wanted to see them play the Seahawks because what we will do if they win these next three games is do what we did for the first 11 games of the season. Yeah, but the Eagles are winning. Yeah, but they 10-1, Acho. Yeah, but I don't care, Acho, they 10-2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't care, Acho, they 10-3. At some point, my dog to my right is going to start to care. Now, it probably won't happen until January 8th, the end of the regular season. But if the Eagles beat these last three teams, which they will, in my humble opinion, I don't learn anything. Because they can get away with beating these last three teams with the vanilla offense.
But couldn't I argue that because they're already in the postseason, if we can, they're already in the postseason. Like, they've clinched a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
So if they limp into the playoffs or they look great going into the playoffs, once the playoffs start, it's a whole new season.
Yeah.
Everything that happened during the regular season might play into and will play into a role in how we predict how things are going to go. But as we know, things happen during playoff games. What happened during the Philadelphia Niners game last year? Nobody thought it was going to go like that. Goodbye. Goodbye. End of game. Now, they're not the same defense, so maybe that won't happen. Maybe it will. But what I'm saying is all this is really about is evaluation.
Correct.
Yes, there's some confidence and all that stuff. But once you get to the postseason, which they are already there, it's a completely new year.
The difference for me, and here's where I draw frustration, is the Eagles don't have to bring their best to beat these teams. And because you don't have to bring your best to beat these teams, you might get away with not bringing your best to beat these teams. Whereas if the Eagles were playing better teams 2-5, in my humble opinion, I believe now you're forced to bring your best.
I mean, what do you want us to do, Asho? What do you want us to do, dog? Like, it's the schedule to schedule. And we play some bad teams, and we play some good teams. We play all the good teams. We play the Chiefs. Good team. We played the Dolphins. Good team. Played the Cowboys twice. Played the Niners. Played the Bills. We played all the good teams. Can we get some bums? Right? I watched y'all two together collectively praise up and down how great the Cowboys was because they was beating all the bum teams. But you got an issue with us playing the bum teams?
No, I don't have an
come
issue
on,
with
man. Come on.
For the sake of the Eagles,
I
wish they were playing better teams. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. And it's not because I want them to lose. It's because I want to make sure that the Eagles fine-tune themselves going into the postseason, James. That's why I want to see them.
For me, I don't care who they play. Just treat the bums like the Cowboys treated the bums. That's all I want.
Yes.
Like, go out there and dominate a football game. That not even for us. I mean, we ain't playing. If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, I don't get a ring. Shady may get a ring because he's your all-time leading rusher, but I don't get one. So I just want to see you guys play the right football. The Dallas Cowboys said, okay, you the easy teams, we're going to treat you like an easy team. The Philadelphia Eagles have played the Commanders and some other easy teams, and didn't treat them like they was easy teams. Confidence is going to beat these boys down and treat them like they easy teams. And if you do that these last three games, which is easy teams, then you're going to ride into the playoffs, whatever plays you're running, with a lot of confidence.
I have a question, though. Because at this point in the season, the Cowboys have an opportunity to answer these questions. The Eagles beat the Chiefs, they beat the Bills, beat the Dolphins, and they beat the Cowboys. That's four good teams, right?
Mm-hmm. Four playoff teams.
Four playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys beat the Cowboys lost
don't
to the Bills.
Don't say, don't. They did not beat the Bills. You almost said it. They did not. They got smoked by the Bills. Got smoked.
They lost to the Bills.
Yeah. Lost to the Niners.
Lost to the Niners.
Smoked by both.
Lost to the Cardinals.
I'm just comparing the teams because we're arguing about schedule now, and it just got me thinking, like, who did the Cowboys beat and who did the Cowboys lose to?
Question.
And who did the Eagles beat and who did the Eagles lose to?
The answer for it? That's a
well,
great
see,
question.
I don't really care about the schedules like that because the Cowboys beat the Jets and the Cowboys beat the Seahawks.
Right.
And the Eagles lost to them. So I don't really, like, care about the schedule like that. Like I said, for me, it's all about how they're going.
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If we actually start looking at who everybody outside of the Niners have won and lost to, it's going to start looking very similar.
No question.
Like, we're going to able to make some adjustments here and there to make our arguments work, and in the end, we're going to look silly. It's really about how they're playing.
Correct. Like, that's where I'm at. I honestly, I don't care about records anymore. I don't care about records. The only reason I care about records is, are you making it into the playoffs? That's the only reason I care. But outside of that, only thing I care about now is, how are you playing? Because the 8-6 Bills are currently playing better than the 10-4 Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
How are you playing? So I don't care. It's even hard to go back and say, yeah, but we beat them. Beating the Dolphins pre-Jalen Ramsey is not beating the Dolphins post-Jalen Ramsey. Just full transparency, it's just not.
You told me that was the best team of football when they had 70 points. Jalen Ramsey wasn't there.
The Dolphins have the number one defense since Jalen Ramsey has shown up.
No, I know, but I remember you saying that, like, yo, these Dolphins is for real, for real.
I think offensively they're good. But I'm saying, like, now that I know what they have. Well, what are you saying?
What I'm saying is, Jalen Ramsey or not, I remember you telling us, me in America, how, yo, the Dolphins, they the real deal. They the best team in football.
Yep.
They put 70 points on the Broncos.
Yep.
And you was loving them.
Correct.
So why can I get that same love about them, Jalen Ramsey or not? That's all I want.
What I'm saying
we
is,
beat them.
Agreed.
We beat that 70 point.
No doubt.
That you
no
was
doubt.
Loving.
No doubt. I think that the Dolphins are a better team now with Jalen Ramsey than they were then.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So
would it be a worse loss then?
Break that. What do you mean?
Like, the Cowboys play them this week.
I think that if the Cowboys lose to the Dolphins, I wouldn't be like, yeah, but the Eagles beat the Dolphins and the Cowboys lost to the Dolphins.
But that's literally what we're doing when we're talking about the schedule. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about Philadelphia at the end of the season. There's too much football left to play. But I have a sneaky suspicion that if they look great, even though it is the Giants twice and the Cardinals, that we're going to feel differently about the Eagles if they make some sincere corrections. And we're calling them bums and then like the easy teams and stuff. There are no bums. Like, they're still NFL teams. Like,
I don't know, Joy.
Okay.
I play with.
Is the coach of the year there last year? Is that who coaches the team? Right. Coach of the year?
That was last year. Okay. I played on some bum teams. I was part of a bum team. I was in the locker room like, yo, we a bum team. But we might get a sticky win. It's possible, but you know if you ain't good.
This is fascinating to me, but I got to close this conversation real quick, Shady, about Jalen Hurts. Currently leads the league in turnovers. Mm-hmm. 17 of them. He's tied with, I believe, Sam Howell, Josh Allen, and the dude that plays quarterback for the Falcons, who's now benched for Taylor Heinicke.
Desmond Ridder.
I believe those are the four people that Jalen Hurts is tied for.
That's what I heard.
You blame him for the Eagles' collapse?
Yeah. You mean fully? Oh, not fully. If there's a pot of pizza or apple pie, Christmas coming, pumpkin pie, right? He gonna take a nice size. Yes, he gonna take a nice size of that pie. Ooh. Yeah. But a lot of that goes to blame everybody. The coaching staff, right? Mm-hmm. Why are you not helping Jalen Hurts out? Make the game easier for him. Mm-hmm. Simplify the game for him, right? I look at that. There's no motions. There's no different formations. Like, it's just line up and play. I blame the defense. Mm-hmm. Other than last game, they've been looking bad, right? Last on third down? Yeah. So you could put this whole thing together. The wide receivers, I think A.J. Brown is a phenomenal player. I think Smitty's a hell of a player. But they've been dropping the balls, too, that they normally catch. So when you ask me another thing about the coaches, why Swift ain't getting the rock? Mm-hmm. Why he not getting the ball? So as the quarterback, yes, you're going to get a nice size of this pie, right? You're going to get the first piece, too. But it goes around for everybody. So, I mean, from the pie to the eggnog, they all deserve a piece of the blame, for sure.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, they all sitting at the dinner table. Pass that over here. It's on everybody. It's on Nick Sirianni. It's on Jalen Hurts. It's on the defense, right? None of them is playing up to their ability, right? You're not coaching to your ability. You're not playing to your ability. And that equals a three-game losing streak. So for me, yes, the quarterback is turning the football over. We're not used to Jalen Hurts turning the football over. He was phenomenal with the football last year. And you even heard him after the game. Hey, man, I was just trying to take some chances. Well, you done took a lot of chances this year and turned the football over a lot. But with that being said, last year you guys won a lot of football games too because – even if you guys did get in situations like this, the defense helped you out. Mm-hmm. If you did get in situations like this where the defense was struggling, the offense helped you out. Whatever it may be. This year, none of that is helping nobody out. So for me, slides go to Hurts, the coach, defense, they all get a piece
up. Real quick, a lot of small things, like these certain penalties we shouldn't be getting, right? Even with Jason Kelce, who that's my brother, right? This little lighter than I am. And was he at the penalty where he moved the ball?
He's been doing that, yeah.
He know better. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But the things like that, like, so it went from a third and two to now third and seven.
Yeah.
A touchdown to a field goal. So all these things really matter when you look at wins and losses, look good or look bad. It's all everybody together collectively.
Yeah, I would guess that if Jalen had an opportunity to redo that press conference, he would say they're less disciplined than they need to be. Because it's commitment is a big word.
Yeah, yeah, you know?
It's a big word. What are you not,
he,
you're
with
not
words
practicing
too.
Hard? He's, you know, like, what does that really mean? To me, they look undisciplined. It's the penalties. It's the dropping passes. They don't look like a team. They weren't a team that beat themselves, and now they are looking like that type of team.
Everybody got to buy in, too. Mm.
Yeah.
He don't, like,
Watson, buy in.
But you know, quarterbacks, commitment. Though, like, even with Michael Vick, right, and that's my guy, but sometimes they get on the press conference, and they be saying to me, I'm like, hey, what you talking about right there? Like, who you talking about? Doubt. You know what I mean? Not in the, because my boy, not in the bad way. Yeah. Or even certain words, like, hey, what that word mean?
No,
like,
doubt.
Quarterbacks, they get the most pressure. They get the most spotlight. Like, when I go on a press conference, you know, I'm going to have my crowd. But the quarterback, like, so I think something getting that pressure, they try to, like, use different wording or different words or different meanings. They do that.
It's certain words that go a long way, though. If we in the meeting right now, a production meeting before we get on here, and Acho say, yeah, man, JJ ain't committed.
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
You know, JJ ain't committed to this thing. Hold on.
Yeah.
What you mean?
What you saying?
You mean I ain't out here grinding?
Yeah. Like, you tapping on shoulders.
what you mean?
And you could be in the spotlight. I've been in for you. I rarely get shy or get like caught up. And sometimes you, you know what I'm saying? He just slip out. But we're not committed.
But that's not great.
Yeah, I don't. That's I think he is very intentional. I'm just saying, to me, like, I don't, we're not in the locker room. To me, they look undisciplined. Bro. He gets the corner slight, like, cut of the mac and cheese. Like, he get the one with the extra good crust.
Oh, is it? But it's like, it's a nice size, though?
Yeah, like a big,
he
big one.
He gets a nice size.
He gets
size,
the dad, like the dad cut. Like, this boom.
Can he get
plate?
Can he get extra?
You're gonna be sleepy afterwards.
Oh, he get a little extra.
But the defense also gets some of that. And we keep talking about running the ball. DeAndre Swift carries have gone down since the bye. Before the bye, 16.8 rushing attempts per game. Since the bye, 12.2 rushing
That's
attempts per game.
That's crazy to me.
Like it has gone down. It's not that we're just imagining that he's not getting the ball as much.
But context. We know this context. Since the bye, the Eagles have lost games. Mm-hmm. And when you're trailing, y'all know what it is. You got to pass the ball.
Yeah,
to
but
back
you can't just abandon the run.
You can't. But
especially when you're built that way.
But when it's 42-19, you have no choice.
But before we get to that point,
when you're averaging 2.1 yards per carry, what you want them to do?
I mean,
against the San Francisco 49ers, it's 2 yards in a cloud of dust.
Let's take the Niners out of it.
Cowboys.
Okay, but hold on. But that's how it starts as a running back. It ain't always a 50-yard gain. I'm going 2, 2, 3, 1, 2, 10, 5.
But here's what I will say. There became points, at least for me as a defender, where I'm looking at the Eagles, handing the ball off is a down off. Like, there became points where it's like, oh, y'all going to hand it off right now? And Juergens was hurt. Remember, he got hurt. And Leonard Dickerson, he just got hurt. There came points where I'm looking back like, oh, please hand it off. I'll take it down off.
So when you watch the Seahawks game, you tell me we couldn't ran the ball more?
You could have ran it more.
Seahawks, you could have ran it more.
It was working.
Yeah, Seahawks, you absolutely could have ran it more.
And that's another thing I hate. See, we talk about this, who gets some of the blame and the pie. It got to be a lot of the coaching, too.
Yeah.
If you watch, so it's a copycat league. We trying to win this game.
Yeah.
When you watch, I went to the Niners game when they played the Seahawks. The first play. Like, you know, you warm up, you stretch, national anthem, right? Did all that. The first play from scrimmage was like a 60-some yard CMC, Chris McCaffrey, almost scored. So if you see that, oh, we're going to run this rock. Mm-hmm. It was one point in the game, he had like 8 rushes for like almost 100-some yards. So if you know that, right, if you know that, and I think McCaffrey's right here, I think Swift is super close. Let the tape tell you that.
Yeah.
Why are you not going to run this ball with this kid? Also, and you watched it work against the Seahawks.
The Eagles' offensive line.
Oh, and he was up all game.
The third in run blocking this year.
Come on, Acho.
I've been there. I just see it different.
If you ever got pancake before?
No, I'm getting out the way.
Oh, you never got pancake before?
Nah, I'm getting out the way. No.
I don't believe that.
Yeah. I done got I don't believe that. Before. I done got
you contract. Telling me in your whole career, college, high school, and pro, you never got pancake?
No, like to the ground? No.
I'm to the ground? You my man. I'm going to move on.
Nah, you got to get out there. Like, I'll go low before I get
my man. I'm over. I'm off.
You mean pancake? You mean like smack?
Man,
like
he know somebody caught you smack. Man, he know what pancake is.
Talking about one-on-one to the dirt.
Man, I done seen some greats get pancaked, but
no
I guess.
Doubt. But they played way more than me. I didn't have as much opportunity to get pancaked. Being honest.
You was the man in college.
I did not get pancaked in college. Mm.
I'm done.
I got pancaked one time in
Oakland. Oh, whoa.
I'm being honest.
You're not going to lie to the world and lie to me.
Go back. I got pancakes one time in Oklahoma drill going up against Mason Walters my junior year
something.
That was it. Outside of that, I didn't get pancakes. Okay, when you return, you'll be shocked to hear what Shaq said about Steph Curry. He said he should be one of the best players of all time. That hopefully Shady will return. We'll find out in about 3 minutes 30 seconds.
That is funny.
Steph Curry, 33 points last night, including the rainbow three-pointer to seal the Warriors' dub over the Celtics in overtime. Now, after the game, Shaquille O'Neal, he had a bold statement about the Warriors superstar. Take a listen.
I'm wondering, is it time to start putting him as the best player of all time?
Best player?
I'm saying.
Oh, you put him over you?
In the conversation.
I'm asking you.
Yes.
You put him over you. Okay. You yourself.
Way
with
better.
Steph Curry
yes,
over you.
Yeah, this is why he's my favorite player.
I'm not saying favorite. He might be my favorite, too. But I'm just asking you, think he's better than you?
I played 20 years, watched 20 years before that. I've never seen a guy like him. And he's doing it consistently. And he has championships.
2-5. Is it crazy to say that? Do you agree with Shaq? Is it time to put Steph in our best player discussion?
I agree with it. Yes. All the time we talk about the best player in basketball, right? Is it LeBron James? Is it Michael Jordan, right? Is it Magic? Is it Kareem? Is it Shaq? We always talk about that. Now, I think we all would probably say either Michael or you probably would go with LeBron. Mm-hmm. But to have the conversation, for sure. This is why I love Steph Curry being in the conversation of being one of the best basketball players of all time. This is in the conversation. When you look at a guy like LeBron James, he's 6'9". We've never seen anybody so freakish, athletic, can shoot, can dribble. 6'9", big guy, freakish, okay? You look at a guy like Michael Jordan, who can do everything, fly, soar over the air like an eagle. You want that the song? You look at a guy like Magic, a 6'9 point guard, mm-hmm. been super successful in college, high school, came to the league, got a championship right off the gate. You see these things. Kobe Bryant, what can I say more about Kobe being Bryant, the Mamba? I mean, the kid came from out of high school. I watched him in high school. Yeah. Super dope. And you see the things he's done. You look at Steph Curry, 6'2", skinny. Look at how he came up, though. Small dude, small. Steph Curry's not super quick. Steph Curry's not super fast. He's not super long with arms. He can't jump out the gym.
Walking bucket.
And you put him in a conversation with these greats. He's changed the game. A dude that's not super athletic, not super quick, not super talented, right? But he's one of the best we've ever seen. He's changed the game forever. And I think that a guy like Steph Curry, all people can relate to. You can't relate to a guy like Kevin Durant. Can't relate to Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson. You can relate to Steph Curry. You can see a 6'2 skinny guy walking the street, delivering your newspaper. Mm. You can see a 6'2 coach that never played pro, never played college, was a high school coach. Mm-hmm. He makes everybody believe. And when you have a guy like that that is so dedicated, and I always say, work ethic always beats talent. I hear that, but do you believe that? When you look at Steph Curry, you believe that. Mm.
I think the biggest part of Steph Curry's legacy is what you said about him changing the game. The actual game of basketball in the modern sense is played differently because of Steph Curry. How they recruit players, how big guys have to defend. You used to never have to leave the bucket. You just stay right there and just be big as hell, and that's rebound. Your job. Just jump up and get a rebound. Now you have to be able to go out and play defense and get back. So now it's influenced other positions as well. We expect big guys to be able to knock a three down every once in a while. It used to be if you were a big man and you even thought about taking a three-point shot, they would bench you. What are you doing?
Yeah, no doubt.
What are you doing?
Get your butt under the basket.
Get under the basket. You don't get to take three-point shots. Yeah. Now we celebrate it. Now it's a part of their game, and that's all because...
You gotta have it now.
You gotta have it. You gotta be able to defend out there. You have to be flexible. You have to be able to shoot that shot. And Steph Curry is the one that's responsible for all of it. And while I do think I don't want to take away from LeBron or Jordan and what they've contributed to the game as well, because obviously they are otherworldly. It's not relatable, even though we want to be like Mike, it's always aspirational. LeBron, the king. Everybody can't be the king. But to your point, Steph is not just relatable. He's made it so that the game has actually changed. So I don't think it's ridiculous to put him in that conversation. Obviously, we respect what Shaq has to say because of what he's contributed to the game as well. But he has the championships to back it as well. It's not like we're just talking about somebody's extreme talent with no results. He has a lot of results to validate not only what we've seen on the court, but what he has contributed to that team.
Now, let me add a little tension to this conversation.
And it's this conversation, too, though.
But that's the tension I want to add. Because like, we've done this a lot in football. Hey, is this person in the MVP conversation? Okay, well, how long is the conversation? If we're putting Steph in the MVP conversation, is that now to imply that the conversation is 10, 15, 20, 25 people long? Because in my mind, a GOAT conversation should be maintained by 2, 3, 4, 5 people max. So are we putting Steph in a conversation that now has 15 people in it? Because that kind of saturates or dilutes the conversation.
So right now, you got Kareem.
All right.
Right.
Yeah, I would say 3 people are in it.
Who's that?
Kareem, MJ. Mike, and Bron.
Okay.
I mean, those are the 3 people I would say.
I like that. I just, you know, Kobe's in there.
Yeah, Kobe.
And the Magic. It depends what you like.
Yeah.
That's why I love it, because it's a conversation. Like Shaq was the most dominant player. I mean, if you only want to talk about the greatest, I mean, he can have an argument with there.
Yeah.
Nobody can stop him. Nobody. And then even Kareem. Kareem is 7 foot. That sky hook. Like, he's won everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere's been, he's won.
Yeah.
So you can always argue, I guess, for your points and your opinions on who should be the best.
I'll listen to arguments, James, about Steph. Yeah. I'll listen to arguments about Steph, no doubt about it. But the problem I have is I think we are just misconstruing our words. And Shaq caught himself doing it. Shaq said, I mean, he's my favorite player. And Kenny said, well, his favorite, but you said best.
Yeah.
I think Steph is the most exhilarating. I think he might be the most dynamic. I might think he might be the most impressive. He might be the most fun to watch. But when you're saying best, James, that carries a lot of weight.
Yeah.
That carries some defensive weight. Steph don't play no defense.
Yeah.
So when you're saying best, you're saying a lot more than just best shooter. Like, yeah, that means something.
No doubt. And, I mean, nobody is going to look at you crazy if you say, Steph is my GOAT of all time. Ain't nobody finna look at you crazy. Steph has accomplished a lot of stuff on the basketball court. But when I think about the GOATs, number one, LeBron James plays every position, but he at small forward, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at small forwards, he's the greatest small forward to ever play the game. There's no other body person that you're going to say is better than LeBron at his position. Same with Mike. When you talk about shooting guard, there's nobody else that you're putting in front of Mike. When we talk point guards, it's people you might choose in front of Steph Curry. So he's arguably not even the best point guard of all time. I mean, some people like Isaiah. Some people like Magic.
Isaiah.
Man, bro, I'm just saying some people like those. It's a conversation as great as point guard. It ain't no conversation as great as small forward or great as shooting guard. We know who those are. Our greatest center. We know who those are. So for me, if it's an argument about you being the greatest at your position, I don't know how you can be the greatest basketball player of all time. And, yes, I agree with Shady and Joy. He has changed the game when you talk about shooting the basketball. I yell at my kids now, shoot another three. If you don't go to the hole, well, shoot another three, I'm getting you out. You know, so he has changed the game, but greatest of all.
But see, not only changing the game, though, like even the way they scout now, even the way they call their offense.
No doubt.
You see all threes, everybody, what? Not just this team. Everybody.
See,
another thing about Steph, what I was talking about is, how is it that this guy is not as athletic, not as talented, right? Not as tall, not as quick, not as fast, but he's giving you the same type of production and even more than all these other dudes. A guy like Westbrook, right? Should be better than Steph Curry. Guy like John Wall, linky, tall, but jumping. They should be better than Steph Curry, and they're not close.
Sure.
You get what I'm saying? So it's like, if I'm going to scout players, I'm going to take the 6'5", 6'6", point guard.
No doubt.
With the handle, long arms, I'm taking him.
100%.
But nowadays, I can't say that. You know why?
What's that?
A dude number 30 that plays for the Golden State Warriors.
But you're not, I don't think you're wrong.
You can't.
I don't think what Joy's saying is wrong. I don't think
anyone.
I just think it's still not, that doesn't make him the best. Because what we all have done here is, when you're talking about the best, whether it is Kareem, whether it is LeBron, whether it is Mike, all those dudes also were lockdown defenders in their prime.
I do think the two-way discussion makes it more difficult to argue for the greatest of all time.
It has to.
I will submit
objectively
to that.
Speaking.
I think that he is unequivocally one of the most influential players of all time.
Easy.
On the court. Because once we start getting into the totality of sports, like obviously Jordan is the most.
Of course.
But on the court, Steph has influenced the actual game of basketball in a way that it might not ever change
again.
Probably
only Shaq. You know what I mean?
But even Shaq, like, there's only one Shaq. Like, there's only one man that is that big and that athletic and that good at basketball at his size.
Correct.
Steph has actually influenced, like I said, not just his position at point guard, everyone else.
Correct. Yeah. But I think, again, these are different conversations.
Yes.
We're agreeing with you.
Yes.
I agree with you.
The greatest of all time is a very highly contested.
So wait. Let me ask you a question, though. Oh, y'all. You talk, so I'll let you go first, Joey. You would probably say Michael's the best of all time?
Yeah.
Michael is the GOAT to me.
He's my GOAT also.
That's my GOAT.
So what makes Michael Jordan the greatest player of all time, in your opinion?
I think he was great in every aspect of the game on the court. He was one of the most influential winners.
Yes.
He was the leader of a dynasty. He transformed the sport. There's a lot of reasons why.
So when you say them things, right, and I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
But when I think about Steph...
Yeah, he has a lot of those things as well.
You get what I'm saying? So it's not a crazy conversation.
No.
Everything you can say about MJ, you can say about Steph. And I think MJ's better, a lot better than Steph Curry. I'm just saying, when you talk about the conversation of the greatest of all time, like, Steph got a point.
About where I would give MJ the nod is
the defense.
Yeah.
But, okay, you know, it was great defense, but it was, you know.
No.
I'm an MJ crazy fan.
Of course.
So I'm right with MJ. He's the greatest of all time. But it's even easier and better. Right? When you got a better defender on your team, you know what? I can lock up. He might have a couple buckets on me. Scotty, get him. Because I've seen it. I've seen it first time they played on the road. They played the Lakers. And Magic had his way. Y'all forgot?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all forgot? No.
I keep cooking.
That's what he said. Hey, Scotty, go and grab that. Go and grab that. And after that, Scotty locked Magic up the whole series. And what they do, got the ring.
But then
that was his first ring.
To me, then, it's not a conversation.
That's it.
Because if you're saying that Michael is the best, by far, to me, then the conversation is open and it is closed.
I mean, for me, right, what Shaq said was the conversation. So I think LeBron James deserves to be one of the best players in that conversation, right? I think MJ's the number one, though. I think MJ's the greatest.
Yeah.
Steph is the same thing.
But you wouldn't
say... in that conversation.
But you, in my mind, like, to be in the conversation, you wouldn't say that Jordan is clearly better. than LeBron. You'd be like, nah, I'll take Jordan. I'll take, give me Jordan. But like, in the comp that Joy brought up with, that you and Joy were sparring about, what she brought up is everything that Steph could do, Jordan did outside of shooting a three ball. Jordan did a little bit better. Galvanizing a team, Jordan galvanized it a little bit better. Winning chips, Jordan did it obviously a little bit better. Revolutionizing the game, Jordan did it a little bit better. So how
can I don't know about that one.
Revolutionizing the game?
I mean, I hear you, but like, look, I mean, bro. Oh,
man. There's a different conversation between off the court and on the court.
I'm saying, when we talk about on the court, when you watch the game now, though.
I know.
You getting yelled at for shooting a two ball. Why you make that layup? I don't care if it's open. You see him open the three. Like, that's what it is now. Dudes is coming from half court. Look at the way they playing. Yo, shooting a ball, a deep three, was a bad decision, right? Now you look at it, you can do like Lillard, shooting freaking from half court, sending teams.
And everybody wanna be like Mike. Mike is on football.
I hear you, bro. I hear you.
But Mike ain't caught a football ever. Mike is on football.
I hear you. I'm completely changed.
I'm speaking more. I'm sorry. I'm speaking more on the court.
But even on the court, though, I would say, because remember, your favorite player was Mike.
Right.
So when we talk about it in football, we talk about coaching trees, right? And oftentimes we think about greatness based on the coaching tree. Jordan still has a greater basketball tree, but obviously.
So right now, who plays like MJ?
A lot of people try.
Kobe left.
Yeah, right? Nobody.
But remember,
Kobe's on.
Tatum tried to play like Kobe, and Kobe tried to play like Mike. So it's still a tree.
I would say Kobe's influence is because of Mike, because Kobe modeled his game after.
Exactly.
I'm saying is, like, if you're looking at changing the game, right, and affecting the game, so MJ, he was different. Dudes ain't, they not doing all that, right? Even if Kobe was the closest thing to him. That's my
correct.
Kobe's my favorite player.
Correct.
Other than Kobe, like, who else? You said Tatum don't play like MJ.
But no, Tatum tries to play like Kobe, and Kobe tried to play like Mike.
I don't think so. I don't think
Tatum has literally said it like, but
verbatim. I don't care what he said. Booker said he want to play like Kobe. I don't care what they said.
But the point is.
Who play like Steph Curry? I want to know that.
But nobody does. But it's all about what do they aspire to do.
Okay, I don't know about it. When I look at the TV, right? When I look at the TV from when Jordan was playing to now, it looks like everybody's mimicking the Warriors style and Steph Curry style. Am I tripping?
No.
So when you ask me who's affecting the game, come on.
Well, Steph is affecting the game right now.
At a crazy margin.
Been in the league because, I mean, the way he shoots the basketball. But the conversation is greatest of all time. Like, if somebody asks you who's the greatest of all time,
I'm going to say Michael Jordan. Hold on.
Out of Mike and Steph, it's going to be, bro, watch out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, if somebody says who's the greatest out of LeBron and Jordan, we all said we take a Jordan, but it's a heck of a conversation. Yep. It ain't like that with Steph Curry. So that's why my thing is, like, when you talk greatest of all time, and if you put them two people in the same room, you're going to look like, Steph, go over there. All the stuff you accomplished and everything you changed in the game, Mike,
all I'm saying is it's a conversation.
I think it's a conversation. We're having a conversation about it right now. We did a solid 12 minute block on it. It is a conversation.
I'm rocking with
you. So then my only final
like, you know what's
is,
not, well, I ain't even gonna let somebody catch a stray, but there are lots of people who we wouldn't need entertain in the conversation.
Michael Jordan is my GOAT too. I'm gonna say this.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to guard Steph Curry than to guard MJ. Think about if you're a defender though. Just hear me out for a second though. I know it sounds
which
crazy.
Era?
I don't care where you're getting. Just hear what I'm saying. MJ, yes. Right? He up there.
Give me the ball. Steph is removed.
Give me the ball. I don't need none of that.
Steph is
imagine if you're a defender. Let's put yourself as a defender, right? Don't look at the names. Look at the defender.
Mm-hmm.
Guarding Mike. It's going to be hard as hell anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But let's think about it.
Steph would
I'm
be more
I'm going to fade away on you.
Steph
I'm
going to do more
Steph,
tactic.
Your card now, better Steph,
be
right.
Yeah.
Steph, you got to watch him before you get to half court. Where he at?
Yeah.
All right? He running right here. You're going to be tired as hell. Coach, I need a...
No.
No, we're not. In the hand check era, it might be a different conversation.
Yeah.
Steph would be more taxing, but it's kind of like, what's harder, running 2 miles or running 400?
And look,
like,
you going to have, hold up, he's going to take up the dribble too, right? Mm-hmm. Step back. Then he's going to go through these picks when he with the ball. Then he's going to pass the ball off and then run around the picks.
Yeah.
Just hear me out for a second. Ooh, he like Ray Allen, a young Ray Allen with an older Reggie Miller. Like, he's... Give Steph need his respect. Yeah. I'm a basketball.
No, no.
Steph has his respect.
Yeah, he does.
He has his respect.
Steph got the respect and all that.
He does.
Then he might not be the greatest player of all time because he's not Michael Jordan. I think Michael is number one. But he's in that conversation.
100%. That's why I started
we
it off.
We're going to talk about
if
it.
If you're having a conversation with what Steph accomplished, you ain't wrong. Nobody going to look at you crazy. But when you talk about the greatest of all time and you say, who's better, Mike or Steph? Everybody.
I got my Jordans on right now. I got my
J's on right now. Everybody's going to be like, come on, man, give me Mike.
When we return, we got to talk about the two hottest teams in football. It is the best game of the season.
The Eagles.
The Ravens versus the 49ers playing on Christmas night. It's the two best. Who has the edge in what might be a Super Bowl preview? Get an early look at who has the early advantage when we return.
That was a great block.
I had to bring in my dog, James Jones, to talk about this one. James, to me, this is the best game of the year. Niners, Ravens, the two best teams in football. AFC, NFC, could be a Super Bowl preview. So let's give the world a preview of the game we're going to see on Christmas night. Yeah. Starting off, who has the early edge? Coach, Harbaugh, Shanahan. Who got the edge, big dog?
My coach, I'm going with Coach Harbaugh, man. Super Bowl champion, I mean, 7th on the active list of winning coaches. I know my man over there is doing a whole bunch because I know where you're going with Bang Bang. I know he's offensive guru and all that, but this dude right here wins, and he got a Super Bowl trophy as well. I'm taking Coach Harbaugh.
You think Harbaugh is a smarter mind or better leader of men? Because why Harbaugh here?
Because I think he's a better leader of men. I wouldn't say smarter mind. Kyle Shanahan, when you talk about minds, is absolutely special. But leader of men, I mean, he wins even without Lamar Jackson.
No doubt about it. Bang Bang, y'all know what it is. Mm-hmm. It's got to be Kyle Shanahan for me. Mm. His offensive brilliance, it is on another level. Let's get to the quarterback.
Super Bowl means nothing?
Super Bowl definitely means something. Definitely means something. But because he won a Super Bowl, I can't let that trump everything that Shanahan's done right here, right now. Quarterback Lamar, Brock Purdy, top two MVP candidates this year. Who got the edge?
Hey, no disrespect, but I'm going with a dude that was unanimous, and that is Lamar Action Jackson. I mean, come on. We could plug Lamar in pretty much any system, and Lamar is going to get busy, right? And I've seen it year after year after year after year, Lamar Jackson get busy. And this one, I'm taking Lamar Jackson.
I'm just curious, James. Who got the most passing, like,
that's
touchdowns?
All good.
And Lamar has 17.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's okay.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all
he
know.
He brought some in, too, though.
Who got the edge for your boy? Honestly, what this one was tight for me, but I had to go Brock Purdy.
The are way you Brock Purdy is. What this man has
I'm
done?
I'm not. But are we going to talk about what you're done or what you're doing?
I mean, he winning, right?
Yes, he is. Purdy just winning, too.
Okay.
And Purdy got more playoff wins. And Purdy got more total touchdowns. And Purdy got more. I digress. Let's get to who got the better offense. Where you at?
Unanimous, huh?
Well, this one's the Niners here.
This one's unanimous for me right here, too.
Thank you.
I'm going with the Niners. I mean, first off, you got Shanahan calling the plays. You got Debo, McCaffrey. You got Kittle.
Sure.
You got all of them. You got Ayuk. I'm taking the offense.
Throw mine up the screen.
Here.
Let's roll.
Niners.
Bang, bang. Where you at on defense?
Man, listen. I'm going with the number one defense in football. And no, it ain't the Niners. It's the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens on this one. Defense all year long. They've been
reveal, please.
Out.
I'm with you on this. This hurt my heart. I'm with you on this. This hurt my heart. The Ravens do have a better defense right here, right now, than the 49ers. Honestly, in my mind, they've had a better defense all season. If you all care about linebacker play, you might be watching the four best linebackers in the NFL in this game. Patrick Queen, Roquan Smith, Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner. They might be the four best linebackers playing in this game.
You had me scared there a little bit, man.
I know. I love defense too much.
My X factor, and a lot of people might not know his name, is Mike McDaniel. And that is the defense. McDonald. That is the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. Everybody's going to know his name if Kyle Shanahan come out here and he's cooking up all these plays and this defense don't look like the number one defense in football. They're going to be saying, who is calling the plays?
Yeah.
All right? And this is the defensive coordinator right here. He is the X factor. What's your answers? He's got defensive coordinators. Kyle Shanahan's got defensive coordinators put up in the booth. Fired, right? Don't let it be you. Go out there, call a good game. Now your defense ready to go.
I don't know, dog.
Why?
You ain't really know his name. He's scared, man.
Hey, so, I'm scared, too, with what Kyle Shanahan did.
My X factor plays off of James's. Kyle Hamilton. Mm. Kyle Hamilton, the nickelback convert safety. Is he going to shadow Debo? You have a guy who might be able to take the 49ers offensive X factor out of the game. Kyle Hamilton, number 14, number one first round pick out of Notre Dame. That's a name that you will know by Christmas Day.
He might be on my man Akil as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what it comes down to.
Yep.
What's McDonald going to do? What's Kyle Hamilton going to do? Joy, who has the early edge in this one? Ravens, Niners.
You ain't know his name.
I'm worried.
I'm going to go with the Niners. They've looked super dominant all season outside of those three games. And they've dominated good teams. They've dominated bad teams. They're the most dominant team in the league right now. They look the most complete. They're playing the best football. The quarterback is playing the best at the quarterback position. Their defense is firing. Everybody looks the way that they're supposed to look at this point in the season if you are a serious Super Bowl contender. Now, I don't think the Ravens are that far off, but if you're asking me who has the edge, I'm going to go with the Niners.
I'll go with the Niners also. I think the Ravens has a really, really great defense. The Niners have a great defense. I think the Niners have a great offense. I think the Ravens have a good offense. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. There's times where the Ravens, they get stopped. They stop themselves, right? The Niners, man, they stop themselves when they need a break. Seriously. So when I got to pick out of the two, I got to go with the Niners. Look at the supporting cast.
Yeah.
Right? I think Lamar and his team, or his offense, they're gelling together. They're trying to find each other. They're getting better and better. Odell Beckham. From week one to now, he looks way better, right? Still not there, but he's getting way better. Back to Odell, the one we like, the one we love. Zay Flowers, a young rookie, balling, right? But he still has some up and down games, dropping the ball, small little things. And then Rashad Bateman, like, I think he's a really good player. He has some high moments. Like, yo, you see that catch? See that run? You see some catches where he drops it and don't get the ball. So I think that offensively, I got to go with the Niners.
The Ravens
and
are
they
also,
just lost Mitchell, too. Mitchell,
yeah, I was about to say, the Ravens are also dealing with a lot of injuries.
So,
yeah. Oh, you asked me who I'm going with?
I mean, it sounds like you're going with the Ravens. Based off the list, it looks like it's the Ravens.
I'm taking Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in this, and the main reason why I'm taking it is because I know Lamar's stats is not up there like that. But when Lamar has to take over a football game with his legs, Lamar takes over a football game. One thing that this Niners defense, under all their defensive coordinators, struggle with is the run. The quarterback
that can run.
That's
true.
Getting outside the pocket. That's why for a long time, Kyle Shanahan was trying to look for him a guy like Russell Wilson. Because he had to play Russ two times a year. And Russ, 3rd and 10, everybody covered. Russ will be Russ. Lamar Jackson and his legs, I think, is going to be a big factor in this game, getting outside of that pocket and them having to bring him down, and I think that can keep some drives going. I like the Ravens in this one right now because defense travels 2 on the road with you. Lamar's legs, defense, I'm taking Ravens.
But don't you think that the delta between the Ravens' defense and the Niners' offense is smaller than that gap between the Ravens' offense and the Niners defense?
Like, to me, no, because I'm remembering the greatness that I've seen from Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I took Lamar over Purdy.
Okay, here's my question. How are you remembering the greatness you've seen from Lamar, but you're forgetting the greatness you're seeing present tense from Purdy? You're remembering something from 2019 greater than you are remembering what you saw 2 hours ago. Mm-hmm. Like, Purdy had 4 touchdowns, no picks.
No
yesterday.
Question. So Lamar ain't been getting busy with his legs this year?
Five touchdowns.
I'm just checking. He leads
touchdowns.
The league in rushing.
He leads the quarterback's spot. Yeah, right? Yeah.
So for me, Lamar is still getting busy at that quarterback spot. The Niners do not do well with quarterbacks that can get busy like that. And it is proven and shown.
So I don't disagree.
I'm going with Lamar Jackson and his legs. Lamar Jackson has done it for longer. And he's done it way more consistent than Brock Purdy. And I'm not taking nothing away from Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is playing lights out. But in this game right here, Monday night, Christmas Day, when the lights is out, I got to go with Lamar.
What's the gap for you? Like, statistically, what is it?
I think
because, like, visually, like, the Niners look, you know, we watch them beat teams down. But, you know, we have numbers and stuff, too. What is the gap?
The dynamics of the Niners offense. So are you talking about a point gap? Or the dynamic.
No, I'm saying like
the
Ravens have a great defense. They're the best defense. So as good as the Niners defense is, it's really really good. They're the second best. Okay, so it's a wash on defense.
Correct, but it's not a wash on offense.
But is the gap the passing? Because Lamar Jackson's way better runner than Brock Purdy.
The gap is both the dynamics of the passing game and the playmakers. Like, the Ravens do not have the playmakers that the Niners have, particularly when you think about the fact that Mark Andrews is gone. The playmakers. Yeah. I mean, the Ravens have Zay Flowers. Shout out to him. But Zay Flowers isn't as good as Ayuk. Like, let's stop with all this. The Ravens I don't care what receiver you have. The Niners' second best receiver is better than the Ravens' best receiver.
The Niners' best receiver is like the second best player on the team.
I'm not even talking about Debo. I'm talking Ayuk. I haven't got to Debo yet.
But who's the best playmaker on the Ravens offense?
Lamar Jackson.
Thank you. So that's all I'm saying. The ball is in his hands every single play.
Can I ask you a question? Because I love Lamar.
Yeah.
When you watch the Ravens play defense and offense, and you watch the Niners play defense and offense for not just one game, for the stretch of the season, right?
What team are you talking to me about?
I didn't get to answer
the question.
What looks better to you?
The Niners offense look better. That's why I picked the Niners offense.
No.
What team looks better to you?
Oh, the Niners are playing more complete football as a team.
That's why I would pick them.
Yeah, yeah.
I just let my eyeballs kind of lead me to this.
For me, in these big-time games right here, I always feel like it comes down to the quarterback. That's why when Dak Prescott is in big-time games.
What quarterback's playing better?
All right. Brock Purdy's playing better right now, but what quarterback better?
I'm not right with you there.
Better? Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback.
You won't take Lamar before you take Brock Purdy.
Not in this game. Not in this year. Like, are we not watching the same ball?
Right, but this is an argument. This is why we always get into these arguments.
I'm so confused.
What's in you?
I feel you. Like, you're saying, like, who has the ability to hit higher highs? I think it's like that's kind of what you're asking.
I think that's what we're all saying.
The hard part for me is Brock Purdy has 3 games this year with 4 touchdowns, no picks. How much higher of a high do you want? 5 touchdowns, no picks? How much better? Like, Brock Purdy, I think, had a perfect passer rating game.
You're not saying who's better. You're just saying, like for this game, who's...
This season, Brock Purdy is playing better than Lamar.
Yeah.
In this game, I believe Brock Purdy will play better than Lamar.
But who is better?
That's Lamar has hit higher high.
See,
that, you know what I mean? Like, Lamar...
You gotta answer that one. Come on, though. Who better than Lamar and Purdy? Be serious.
Of course I'll say Lamar. Unanimous MVP.
But you're not saying it with your diaphragm.
I can't because it's like...
But if you put Lamar on this freaking... Like, oh, my God. That would be cheating.
We gonna play this game?
No, but...
If you put Lamar on the Niners, they'll be cheating.
Are we going to play
this game? If you put Brock Purdy on the Ravens, you...
The if you put game...
Yeah, I'm doing that.
But isn't that what determines greatness?
Oh, man.
Like, isn't that what makes you the top? Like, isn't that what makes Josh Allen Josh Allen? Isn't that what makes Joe Burrow Joe Burrow? Isn't that what makes Patrick Mahomes Patrick Mahomes?
Where I'm at, and I think you've said it a lot this year, I'm tired of submitting to that thought process. The thought process that I'm submitting to with the quarterback position going forward, how well are you on the team you're on?
But
how well do you play for the team that you are in? How well do you command the system you're in charge of? I don't want to ask myself, what would this actor have done if he was in this role?
Yeah, let's not play the what-if game. So Brock Purdy is playing better than Lamar Jackson has played all season long for the most of the season.
Including those 3 games, Brock Purdy is still playing better than Lamar. And Brock had 3 bad games.
But see, that's my thing, and that's why I hate going to stats. I do.
Go to the tape. Because
if I go to the stats. I go to the tape, though, Lamar Jackson is taking games over, though. His team is winning, and the Niners have way more than he has
Lamar Jackson's best play last week was lucky, and he went to the bench, and he said, I didn't even see him. When he threw the ball to Isaiah Likely, you saw it. That's why you grimaced and smiled like that. Lamar Jackson's best play, let's be honest, go back and rewatch the game. When he went to the bench, what did Lamar Jackson say under his breath? Go back, rewatch the game, and read his lips. He said, I didn't even see
him.
Was a lucky play. Brock Purdy's best play was not.
How about them being 11-3 and all them plays in between that? Them luckies?
No.
Like, he's picked up and changed a lot of games with his legs. I'm not saying stats-wise he's throwing for 400 yards, but he hurts people with his legs and changing the game with his legs, picking up crucial first downs. You sitting here telling me you're taking Purdy over Jackson?
Like, you know better than that. If Lamar could throw freaking 2-yard routes for the screens.
We got to stop with that.
That's facts.
Brock Purdy last game was throwing
All I'm going to say is this, because I like Brock Purdy. I'm not going to dim the light on him, because he's like that. He's a good quarterback.
He's a great quarterback.
He's not good. I'm done. I'm done.
3-4 touchdown, no pick games?
Yo, talk to them. I'm off.
I'll talk to y'all.
Great.
You just told me talk to them. Now you want to talk to me? Can I talk to them?
I want to make sure the words. I just want to hear it real quick.
He said great.
Before I cut you off, did you say the man is great?
Did you say them words?
He leads the league.
Yo, 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 yo. Did you say he was great?
I said he is great.
I'm wrapped out. Holla at
you. Are you done for real this time? Because last time you said you was done, you kept trying to talk. Thank you.
He laid back on you, too.
When we return, it's time for Shady to give out crazy work. Shady's going to highlight the great players in the National Football League. Not the good ones, not the average ones, the great ones. 2-5's going to get live on this next topic when we return. Ooh,
look at the moves. I was a bad boy, dog. Yo, he called him great, though. You heard?
This is called giving out crazy, crazy, crazy work. You get up. That's called crazy work.
Ooh. Oh, it's still good.
Now that's crazy work. That's the chance. Turn it up. Now hear me get blow like me. Crazy work time, baby. Let's get it. Every Wednesday, you know what it is, the best segment on TV. We're showing crazy love and crazy work to all the best players out there that's giving that workout. Can we get to it? Roll the film. We're going to number 3. David Moore, let's get it, from the Bucks, Tampa. Give me this catch for 5 yards from Baker Mayfield. Excuse me, shake that guy. Can he go all the way? 1-9, Eagles, 6 for the touchdown. Let's get that work. It might be cold in Green Bay, but this boy got some cold, cold moves. Look at this young boy. David Moore, I tell you what, boy. You've been watching my tape. You've been watching my tape because you're taking my moves. Great job, great win in Lambeau. But guess what? He did not win. No, he didn't win, Joy.
Who won?
He didn't win. We go on to Kyren Williams. He's not, I'm not, not yet. We on number 2 now. Kyren Williams is a beast from Notre Dame. They scored. They said he was short and he was small. But this boy got game. I love it. He's one of my favorite running backs right now playing today. Check him out. Excuse me. Ooh, where you going, son? Where you going? Make the tackle. Balance. Balance. You can't bounce with this dude. 23, he went for 6. Oh, he went for like 106, balling out. But guess what? He didn't win.
Who won this thing?
Walker.
Oh, my God.
I hate to do it against my Eagles, but he's a bad man. You got me. Now you know. This boy bad. Y'all, listen.
Great.
He's one of my favorite running backs right now from Michigan State. Check him out. 21, where you going? See, that's the thing. When you see a guy, you don't look at him and just stick him. Look at that stick. Ooh! I'm tired of you winning these awards, man. It's your second time on Crazy Work. Give me some love. Now listen, even though you beat my boys, I didn't like it.
Didn't like it.
But I gotta respect it. A sniper respects a sniper, and you are a sniper, young man. 21 didn't take that tackle. Hope you tackle this hoodie, though. I'll send this to you. Put it on, Crazy Work, showing you love from speak. Holla at your boy. My young boy, though.
This young boy? Yeah. My young boy. So you had to pick against the Eagles.
Hey, bro, one thing about being on TV, man, doing your job, it's hard to do your job sometimes.
It is.
But 2-5 is honest, man.
There we go.
And I work hard.
There we go.
And I'm out of breath.
2-5 is in shape now. Well, when we return, Cowboys, they had a rough outing against the Bills.
Yes, they did.
But have we lost faith in Dak Prescott after the blowout? That is.
Here we go.
Can you say it again? I didn't hear you.
Here we go.
Have we lost faith in Dak Prescott after the blowout? That's next, family. All right, family, we are in overtime. Cowboys' 5-game winning streak was snapped in ugly fashion. Blowout loss to the Buffalo Bills. Dak Prescott, he had the best MVP odds at the time. That has taken a major tanking after throwing for a season low, 134 passing yards and a loss. James Jones, Dak Prescott, you've been riding with his bandwagon all year. You lost faith in him.
Absolutely not. No, I'm still riding with Dak Prescott. I have not lost faith in him. This was a bad outing for the Cowboys. Period, as a team. I mean, off the boys, I know we're talking about Dak, but off the bus, you give up 266 yards rushing. Dak did not play well. It's one dude who tells me up here all the time, man, you're going to lose games. You're going to play bad in some games. He tell me that. You tell me that.
Wait, who say that?
Who say that?
I say that.
He tell me that all the time.
My bad.
You're going to play good every game? You ain't going to play good every game. That's all that happened to Dak Prescott, man. He did not play well this game. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills played better than him, but the faith is not lost in him because I've seen him play at a high level and be consistent at a high level this season. So one game is not going to take me off that.
I co-sign that. I haven't lost any faith in Dak Prescott, but I haven't because I think this season of Dak, we've seen before. I believe the 2021 season of Dak Prescott is the same as this season. It's the same passing yards, except he has 20 less per game this year. He'll have one less touchdown this year than he had in 2021. So I've seen this Dak Prescott before. 2021, he had 4 touchdowns, no picks, 4 touchdowns, no picks, 5 touchdowns, no picks to end the season. I believe 4-5-3 or 4-4-5. I've seen it before. So I haven't lost faith in Dak, because to me, this is the same Dak. However you thought about Dak before the season is how you should think about Dak right now. If you loved him then, love him now. If you hated him then, you probably still hate him now.
Wait. Today, we just been going at it a little bit. Pause. So wait, this Dak today is like the same
Dak. Same Dak 2021.
Has he always looked the same, though? Does it look, the numbers
to
are...
To me, he's looked the same.
Oh, okay.
To me, he's looked the same.
Well, I like to say different. I've never seen Dak other than this Buffalo game. He never looked so good to me, though. But he looked really, really good. And he's playing at a high level. So I'll say this, though. What's the question again? Because he killed me.
He killed me. He told me he looked
you
the
lost,
same.
You lost faith,
lost faith in him.
I didn't know. I didn't lose faith for Dak for this season. Because this season, unlike Acho, he looks different than me. I never seen him look playing so well. Playing a phenomenal year. So I don't lose faith in him. I got to see some more games, right? If he does the same thing he did against the Bills, so this next game against the Dolphins, I'm like, oh, okay, that's the same Dak that I remember. Because the Dak I'm saying now, I don't remember this Dak. Mm-hmm. I don't remember this Dak looking off, going to all his reads. I ain't see that Dak. This is a new Dak I'm seeing. The Buffalo Dak, that's the Dak I know. That's my boy, my boy, Mike can say, my boy, that's my boy. Welcome back. So I would love to see that Dak come back against the Dolphins. You know what I mean? A little pick here, a little overthrow here. You know, do wide open in the middle of the field, a bomb, he overthrow. That's the Dak I know.
Get it out.
And then look, when on the side, he got that little crazy looking face. I don't know what's going on.
Get the hate out of his heart.
Get it out.
I'm just being honest. So listen, if Dak Prescott want to come back to the old Dak that I know, my boy, as I say, I woke you
up. The new Dak, the old Dak, pretty good quarterback.
The new Dak.
The new Dak
is really, really, really good.
You talk about pretty good quarterback.
The regular Dak's like, you know, about average.
I'm so confused. Is Dak Prescott not been at the top of the MVP conversation?
I've been saying Joy Taylor.
So can we stop? We just got to stop talking about the MVP conversation then, I guess. Because Dak has been in the MVP conversation one time in his career, which was his rookie season where he got one vote. Since then, he's never been argued about as the MVP. He's never, I'm not going to say never been at the top of the MVP list because I don't have that in front of me.
He wasn't.
I don't remember talking about Dak as the MVP. So he's definitely looked different this year. I have not lost any faith in Dak Prescott because much like Shady, while I do think that Dak is playing and looking a lot different this year, Dak has the ability to not play well in a game. Like, we've seen that before.
It happens.
We've seen it. We saw it in the playoffs last year against the Niners. We saw it in the playoffs the year before that against the Niners. We've seen it against Buffalo this year. We've seen it against the Niners this year. We saw it in Week 18 last year at the Commanders. He will have a down game. And yes, the rest of the team might struggle as well, but you're the quarterback, so this is we're not talking about everybody else because everybody else has been playing at a high level as well, and we don't give them the praise. We're not talking about that Micah Parsons is the MVP. So I haven't lost any faith in Dak Prescott. I feel like I know what Dak Prescott is. I feel like I know what he is capable of up until this point. To me, you are what you are until you're not. And Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback of a really good team and has the capability of having very highs, very big highs, and some lows. So nothing in this Buffalo Bills game taught me anything about what the Cowboys are capable of. They're going to be in the postseason. They had a bad game to a team that is streaking and playing really well and also has aspirations of contending for a Super Bowl.
Hold on, but when you watch that game, seriously though, you ain't teach you nothing?
No, because I saw him do that. I saw him do that.
You said the Cowboys.
That's what I was going to say.
That's what I was about to ask you.
Because,
I didn't learn anything about Dak, but I definitely learned something about the Cowboys. You said you learned nothing about the
Cowboys. I didn't know they can get bullied like that.
Yeah.
The Niners bully, but it's like I don't lie. They kind of bully everybody.
Yeah.
I didn't know that the Bills can just do that.
Because the Bills had only won one game.
Bro.
They won one game win streak.
But not even running the ball like that.
Yeah.
You know, bro had like 175 yards. Yeah, James
Cook went crazy.
James Cook, sorry.
I had 175 before. You good.
But I'm saying, before the game came on, you didn't think that was going to happen.
That was straight
bully mode.
You can ask Heller. I've been predicting this situation for weeks. Damn, Heller, am I right? You can't hear him, but he's saying yes. Everybody gets real tipsy. You know, it's the holidays. You're going to have a little extra one. You know what I mean? Which you're kicking it at the holiday party. Everyone forgets that any team can get it any week.
Not that, though. Not any team can. Yeah. Like, the Ravens haven't gotten that. I don't believe any team can get that.
Yeah,
That wasn't a loss.
Oh, you're not saying the blow. You're just saying the way it happened.
I don't think any team can get that.
When they get into the locker room, right, not after the game, because after the game is like one of them, all right, guys, lick your wounds, we'll be all right. Mm-hmm. But when you got to Wednesday, and you watched the tape,
Maybe Tuesday.
Like, yo, we got bullied. Josh Allen, as great as he was,
He didn't have to do it.
Yeah, 94 passing yards.
I don't want to say he didn't do nothing.
But 94 passing yards.
Right, but he didn't even dominate.
No.
I mean, I've seen him run a couple people over.
He played, but I'm saying who dominated?
James.
No.
Who else?
The offensive lineman dominated.
Dawkins did.
Deion Dawkins, my boy, shout to him. And then James Cook dominated. I didn't expect it to just get ran over like that.
I wasn't terribly surprised, but.
Well, we will talk about the Bills on the other side of this commercial break, because are they the scariest team in the AFC after blowing out the Cowboys? A lot of good teams in the AFC, but are the Bills the scariest? That's next. All right, family, we are in our hurry up offense. Bills coming off a blowout win against the Dallas Cowboys, and now they've won 3 out of their last 4 games. The loss in overtime to the Eagles. Josh Allen said, quote, every game from here on out is a playoff game. James Jones, are the Bills the scariest team in the AFC right now?
They are, and the main reason they are is they have been in playoff mode for the last 3 weeks now, and it's going to be in playoff mode all the way to the playoffs, right? And we all know when you get in the playoffs, the hardest game to get is the first one, mm-hmm. right? They first one happened 2 weeks ago. So whoever they play in the playoffs is going to be, you hear that crowd in Buffalo? They knew it was playoff game, right? So they going to have to be able to adjust to, oh, we in the playoffs now. The Bills been in playoff mode, right? And I want to show a couple plays to where I seen in this game to where I knew it was going to be over. And I knew they weren't even on the right mindset, the Dallas Cowboys. But this right here, this is just attitude. We know they ran the ball for 266 yards. But look at that. Like, that's movie-type stuff.
Look at my boy Deion.
And then right here.
Deion Dawkins, baby. My boy, some love.
Like, this is bully-type stuff. And I'm like, okay, they on a whole different level when you just talk intensity. And this play got blown dead, but this is when I truly knew the game was over. This is a different mindset. Like, Cowboys, you did not come off the bus or out of the locker room with this mindset. Like, look at this play right here from Josh. This play right here shows me that the playoffs is on the line. Dallas, you playing like you already in because you are? We trying to get in this thing, and it just was a different attitude, different sense of urgency. And I knew when I seen that, I said, this is about to be a long day. Yo, they scary.
If you had Josh hand up like that, is he going down or is he throwing you off?
He probably throwing me.
Pancake?
Okay. Oh, so he being honest now. Okay, you okay?
No, he's not.
No, he was not. Early was.
I've never been pancaked.
No pancakes?
What happened to 33? No. No. Can't. Can't.
You told us in the Oklahoma drill that you got pancaked.
In practice.
I know.
Wait, what?
Game or practice.
So did he drive you back 2 yards or did he?
I didn't say game or practice. I didn't say none of that. I say
in a drill in practice, yes, I've been in a drill before. Where the objective is somebody going to cake
you
somebody.
You got to ask very specific questions. You're a lawyer, Shady, right?
Yeah,
you gotta make sure you ask the right question.
You're right.
That's, you know?
I thought it was like a friendly, I ain't had to talk to him like I talked to James.
Yeah, I know.
What's the question?
I'm your friend. You gotta break it down differently.
All right, so look, my thing is, I think the Ravens is the best team in the AFC, but the scariest team, I'm going with the Bills.
Yeah.
I look at like, who would you rather play? Who would you rather not play? I think a lot of teams would say, I don't want to play the Bills. If they get hot at the right time, because they already was favorite. You see what I'm saying? And they had an up and down year. They like they found they stroke.
Mm-hmm. False.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Ravens are the best team in the AFC. The Bills are the scariest, and they will be the scariest if/when they get into the postseason because they're not in right now. So you can be scary at home.
Get in first.
Get in first.
That's true.
Get in first.
Because you're not really scared of Jason unless he's around.
Right.
You know what I mean? If Jason's in Texas, you ain't really tripping.
Yeah, that's far.
Well, he get the Fox. Like, oh, he's here?
He up on a plane. It's a different right. story. So, yeah, I have to respect what they're doing. They're playing at a really high level. They look good. They look like the team we expected them to look throughout the season. But because of their inconsistencies, they're in the situation that they're in. So they have to win out, which I think they will do. But you got to get in first. What happened?
Bills found a lot of things, huh?
What?
When we return, we got to check in on who is winning the Steak standings.
Oh.
Say, you feisty today, man.
Yeah, because you lying to the people. Don't lie to the people.
I don't lie to the people.
And you lying to your boy.
Steak standings, that's next.
I never got pancakes. Well, not the drills. But the drills again. It's the same thing, right?
Family, we are in a 2-minute drill. Time to take a look in at our speak standings. James, you got 2 great weeks back to back.
Yeah.
And
hey, you know what? I do want to, like, I got some bones to pick because I'm already at the bottom on the real
thing. You're going to stay there.
You at least could have put Joy picture at the bottom or Otto picture at the bottom.
Oh, Joy at the bottom.
We all went 11-5.
Joy at the bottom.
Well, I got to be all the way at the bottom.
Hey,
like
we don't care about who's at the bottom. Who's at the top?
Oh,
let's take a look at the overall standing.
Oh, he locked out. There he is. Hey, Reed. All I do is win, baby.
Hey, really, the only two that matter is y'all two, because that's right. 500 is
on. Nah, George love this shit.
Nah, we got money on the line.
Oh, he's not going to win.
You only got a two. You got to make sure you go into the playoffs with at least a 5-game lead. Dog, you can't let me catch you in the playoffs.
I'm so confident. I don't even care.
I'm going to start playing strategy.
You have
to have a 5-game lead.
I don't need none of that. You know why? Every week he's like, oh, what Shady do? I don't even ask. I don't even care. I'm going to win.
Okay, I'm a winner. That's what I'm doing.
Picking against the Eagles.
Pretty right now.
You are, though.
Those shoes is crazy, though. Okay. You walk it there.
Anyway, can we get back to this pancake conversation?
We called his brother and he lied.
Because he said never.
Hey, thanks, Sam.
It wasn't until we pushed you that we got the real answer.
Because I thought about it.
Pancake is a pancake.
What your brother said.
On your back.
Never lost. Undefeated. Never lost.
Whoa, my boy. Like, I know it's TV.